Hi everyone, this is Maya from VediCastroLounge.com on Max and Friends, LA Talk Radio, bringing you VediCastrological Forecast for March 2014. As always, if you have any questions or if you'd like a reading, please feel free to reach me at VediCastroLounge.com. The planetary positions for the month of March 2014 are as follows. Sun is currently transiting Aquarius but moves into Pisces on March 15th. Mercury is currently transiting Capricorn but moves into Aquarius on March 12th. Venus is currently transiting Sagittarius and moves into Capricorn on February 26th. Mars is currently retrograde and moves into Virgo on March 24th. Saturn is currently exalted in Libra and begins its retrograde motion on March 2nd. The north node of the moon is currently transiting Libra and the south node of the moon is currently transiting Aries. There are three highlights for this month. The first one is the retrograde motion of Saturn in Libra, which begins on March 3rd, goes on until the 19th of July, is the beginning of the forward motion of Jupiter on March 5th. And the third highlight is the retrograde motion of Mars. Saturn's retrograde motion is a very important major planetary movement that will have a tremendous impact on people's lives on many levels. Saturn will remain retrograde for the next 4.5 months in the sign of Libra. This is a wonderful window of time in many ways. Saturn will provide circumstances in life that will teach us to take responsibility for our own actions. Saturn will bring great wisdom for those who are willing to break out of their own limited beliefs. It is important to let go of the limited beliefs and embrace the unlimited being that you are. If there is some aspects of yourself that you have been running away from or hiding from, Saturn will help you to face those aspects of yourself and experience the very thing that you're afraid of and heal those aspects of you that need healing. This is a great time to empower yourself and to embrace the powerful being that you are. Here is the astrological forecast for the month of March 2013 for the 12 Vedic moon signs. Aries, this is your month. Keep your focus on issues related to your significant others. They are nothing but mirrors that reflect an aspect of yourself. Treat them like you would treat yourself. Taurus, focus on your health. Time to eat healthy and heal yourself. Gemini, this is your month. You'll have a great life experience that will teach you to create a brighter future for yourself. Cancer, you'll experience many beautiful moments that will bring sparks of wonder into your life. You'll experience tremendous healing. Leo, main focus is communication. People around you will bring many insights and lessons on how to communicate compassionately and effectively. Virgo, be honest with your words. You'll also need to pay extra attention to family and your finance. Libra, it is an important time for solitude, meditation, inner focus, and tremendous healing. Scorpio, it is important to let go of things that doesn't serve you anymore and keep your focus inward rather than outward. Sagittarius, great time for you on many aspects, especially financially. You may gain some lessons that will help improve your financial management. Capricorn, it is important to avoid any unnecessary workplace conflicts for the next 5 months. Aquarius, focus on any issues related to your dad and make effort to heal it. Pisces, it is very important to focus on your health for the next 5 months. Journeys during night or long journeys may be avoided during this time as they may not be fruitful materialistically. That brings me to the end of the forecast. Before I leave, I would like to say it is important for each one of us to take responsibility for our own lives. All possibilities of who we can be every moment exist simultaneously. Getting frustrated with life is reverse magic. Every moment is filled with infinite possibilities of who you can be. Happiness is a choice. It is for us to choose. Thank you and many blessings.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Max and Friends, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back, got the recipe for life, and he's inspired.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I am your host, Max Tucci. Happy holidays, everybody. Welcome back to another Sunday night edition of LA Talk Radio and Max and Friends. How's your holiday going? Well, this weekend, I'm sure many of you have engaged in what I have, and that's holiday parties. Did you have fun? Tweet me, at Max Tucci. I want to know. I had fun. I had a great holiday party this weekend. And you know what? It's nice when there's new friends and old friends and other kinds of friends of friends, because when you meet new people, you get to share stories. Isn't that what life is all about? Because we all have stories to tell, don't we? And we all have conversations, real conversations. Do you enjoy them? Because I love a real conversation. There's nothing to life like a real conversation. It is the most important thing we can have. And you know why? Because it holds our truth. It holds our authenticity. It's who we are, and we should never apologize for our truth. My guest tonight is going to be Ash Beckham. You might know her name because of YouTube. You might know her name because of TEDx. You might know her name because she has a really great, great video about coming out of the closet. And it's not just the closet like, you know, I'm gay, so let me come out of my closet. Because we all have closets. We all have these little dark areas, or sometimes they're big dark areas in life that we want to hide in. And we don't want to share our truth. And it eats us alive. And Ash, I mean, she says it so amazingly in her video on YouTube for TEDx Boulder. And my dear friend Sarah Hassan, she phoned me up. Actually, she posted it on Facebook and was like, you have to watch this video, inspiration. So I love when people send me things on Facebook or on Twitter. So always tweet me at Max Tucci, because you could tell me what's going on in your life. And Meganella, we're sending you a big, big hug because we know you need that right now. So thank you for always tweeting us. But Sarah Hassan, she sent me an amazing video, and it was Ash's video. And she said, Max, what do you think? So right away, I was like, OMG. Got a call, got a find, got to track down Ash. And I did. And Ash replied. And I just think the synchronicity, when life synchronizes, and when where you're supposed to be is exactly where you are. And I felt that way about Boulder for a while since we purchased a home there. But it was kind of interesting because Ash was in Boulder. And I was like, I'm going to be there next week. Can we get together? She's like, how's Tuesday or Thursday or Friday? I was like, let's do Friday. We'll do coffee because that's when I'm flying in. So it was great because, as you know, I was in New York for the premiere of Bravo's TV show, Blood, Sweat, and Heels, starring my friend Bree Bythewood. And I have an episode in it, too, with Patti LaBelle, which is going to be really good. But so I boarded the plane from New York. And big shout out to Vanessa Noel, because I stayed with her while I was in New York. And, of course, to Bree and friends. And to Marissa May at SD26. Got to get my shout outs out. But anyhow, I boarded the plane, got to Boulder, went with Ash to coffee. Now, coffee never was had because we were so engrossed in conversation. And I was so inspired by her because you know why? It's like when you're engaged in this conversation where two people are authentic and true, you have good talk. So, and it was great meeting her because I got inspired by her. And you know, when I get inspired by someone, I got to share them with you. So Ash is going to be on Max and Friends tonight. But let me just tell you why I was inspired. I always speak my truth. Y'all know that. I always tell you all what I can, and sometimes I offend when I speak my truth, but it's authentic to me. And when I offend someone because of my truth, it's because my truth is resonating through their lie of who they think I am. And I don't play that game. So there was an incident that I had last week, and it impacted my life big. Because, you know, there's nothing worse than when people talk behind your back. Now, I got thick skin, so I can handle it. But when they talk behind your back and then you find out and then you call them out on it, that's the reward. Because when you speak to someone who spoke about you and you're not talking to them in anger, you're talking to them in peace and respect and why did you do it? And this is who I am. They have to respect you back. And you can't demand respect without giving respect. So on that note, there's more to that story, and I'm sure you all want to know what it is, but I can't tell you, but it's good. And then I got an email CC'd to me by another person who was, you know, trying to stir the pot about me. And they CC'd me on it and didn't realize they did. What do you do when someone CC's you and they weren't supposed to, or they didn't know they did, and they talk about you. Well, like in true Max fashion, I picked up the phone and called that person and called them out. And it all comes down to hard conversations. That's why I'm telling you this. Because when we have hard conversations and when we have real conversations in life, it is so gratifying. It's rewarding because it's true to ourselves. So Ash Beckham's going to be here to tell us how we can have real conversations, how hard is hard. There's no in between. It's what it is. There's no degrees of hard. So whatever hard conversation or whatever real conversation you need to talk about, stay tuned tonight because we're going to give you the tips on how to free yourself and how to put yourself in a liberating position where you're authentic to who you are and to what your words are. And remember, words have power. And once they're put out, they're out there. There's this vibrational flow that goes on with them that never ends. So be wise in what you say and take a deep breath before you say it. But until Ash gets here, we're going to get into the holiday spirit with Jingle Bells on Max and Friends. Stay tuned for Ash Beckham.
Bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Everybody, that's the coolest Jingle Bells ever, isn't it? And you know why I love when I give you all remixes? Because you don't expect it. And then I get tweets, because you all tweet me at Max Tucci, and you're like, oh my god, that's the best song, where can I hear it? Only here on Max and Friends. So tune in during the holiday seasons, because I love to give you all remixes of my favorite holiday songs. Speaking of holiday songs, I was at Starbucks the other day, and I got the best Christmas album, Mary J. Blige, A Merry Christmas. Have you all heard it? Well, come close, I'm going to tell you. Drummer Boy is my song. It's the first one. It is so amazing. Go get, you know what? Play Christmas songs after the holidays. Because everywhere we go there, we're saturated with these Christmas songs and they get annoying. But Mary J. Blige CD, A Merry Christmas, is good even after the holidays. But I say go get it now because it's worth it. It's a good CD. So I've got to tell you all, Oh boy, where do I start? Let's take a breath and let's talk about who Ash Beckham is for a moment. Because Ash Beckham is a bold, dynamic presenter who speaks about empathy, respect, and the power of having real conversations. Sounds like me, doesn't it? That's what we got along. Well, her online videos of her TEDx talk, Coming Out of Your Closet, and her bolder Ignite speech, I Am So Gay, have gone viral with more than 5 million YouTube viewers. Now, you know how YouTube works, people. If you don't watch the whole video, you don't really get, like, a check. So it's probably like 10 million viewers who have watched it, but not the whole thing. So if you're one of those that haven't watched the whole thing, go on right now to YouTube, type in Ash Beckham, and listen to the full speech because it will change your life. Anyhow, significantly, her message has also become a topic of global discussion. Ash reaches millions every day as her inspiring speeches are experienced in classrooms, boardrooms, and auditoriums around the world, and right here on Max and Friends Tonight. But if by chance you're one of those people living under a rock and not paying attention to what's going on in the world, then we're going to do it for you tonight. We're going to play Ash Beckham's Coming Out of Your Closet so you can understand who she is, the dynamic of what she says, and the authentic powers that you will have by releasing your words on who you are in a hard conversation. So stay tuned to Max and Friends, because right after we play Ash's Coming Out of Your Closet for TEDx Boulder, we're going to have Ash Beckham here. So stay tuned. Hey, Ronnie, hit it.
I'm going to talk to you tonight about coming out of the closet. And not in the traditional sense, not just the gay closet. I think we all have closets. Your closet may be telling someone you love her for the first time, or telling someone that you're pregnant, or telling someone you have cancer, or any of the other hard conversations we have throughout our lives. All a closet is a hard conversation. And although our topics may vary tremendously, the experience of being in and coming out of the closet is universal. It is scary, and we hate it, and it needs to be done. Several years ago, I was working at the Southside Walnut Cafe, a local diner in town, and during my time there, I would go through phases of militant lesbian intensity. Not shaving my armpits, quoting Ani DeFranco lyrics as gospel, and depending on the bagginess of my cargo shorts and how recently I had shaved my head, the question would often be sprung on me, usually by a little kid. Are you a boy or are you a girl? And there would be an awkward silence at the table. I'd clench my jaw a little tighter, hold my coffee pot with a little more vengeance. The dad would awkwardly shuffle his newspaper and the mom would shoot a chilling stare at her kid. But I would say nothing, and I would seethe inside. And it got to the point that every time I walked up to a table that had a kid anywhere between 3 and 10 years old, I was ready to fight. And that is a terrible feeling. So I promised myself the next time I would say something, I would have that hard conversation. So within a matter of weeks, it happens again. Are you a boy or are you a girl? Familiar silence, but this time I'm ready. And I am about to go all Women's Studies 101 on this table. I've got my Betty Friedan quotes. I've got my Gloria Steinem quotes. I even got this little bit from Vagina Monologues I'm going to do. So I take a deep breath and I look down, and staring back at me is a 4-year-old girl in a pink dress. Not a challenge to a feminist duel, just a kid with a question. Are you a boy or are you a girl? So I take another deep breath, squat down next to her and say, hey, I know it's kind of confusing. My hair is short like a boy's and I wear boy's clothes, but I'm a girl. And you know how sometimes you like to wear a pink dress and sometimes you like to wear your comfy jammies? Well, I'm more of a comfy jammies kind of girl. And this kid looks me dead in the eye without missing a beat and says, my favorite pajamas are purple with fish. Can I get a pancake, please? And that was it. Just, oh, okay, you're a girl. How about that pancake? It was the easiest hard conversation I have ever had. And why? Because Pancake Girl and I, we were both real with each other. So like many of us, I've lived in a few closets in my life, and yeah, most often, my walls happen to be rainbow. But inside, in the dark, you can't tell what color the walls are. You just know what it feels like to live in a closet. So really, my closet is no different than yours, or yours, or yours. Sure, I'll give you 100 reasons why coming out of my closet was harder than coming out of yours, but here's the thing. Hard is not relative. Hard is hard. Who can tell me that explaining to someone you just declared bankruptcy is harder than telling someone you just cheated on them? Who can tell me that his coming out story is harder than telling your 5-year-old you're getting a divorce? There is no harder. There is just hard. We need to stop ranking our heart against everyone else's heart to make us feel better or worse about our closets and just commiserate on the fact that we all have heart. At some point in our lives, we all live in closets, and they may feel safe, or at least safer than what lies on the other side of that door. But I am here to tell you, no matter what your walls are made of, a closet is no place for a person to live. Thanks. So why is coming out of any closet, why is having that conversation, why is it so hard? Because they're stressful. We're so concerned about the reaction of the other person, and understandably, will they be angry, sad, disappointed? Will we lose a friend, a parent, a lover? These conversations cause stress. So let's geek out on stress for a minute. Stress is a natural reaction in your body. When you encounter a perceived threat, keyword perceived, your hypothalamus sounds the alarm, and adrenaline and cortisol start coursing through your veins. This is known as fight or flight. Sometimes you rumble, sometimes you run, and this is a totally normal reaction, and comes from a time when that threat was being chased by a woolly mammoth. The problem is, your hypothalamus has no idea if you're being chased by a woolly mammoth, or if your computer just crashed, or if your in-laws just showed up on your doorstep, or if you're about to jump out of a plane, or you need to tell someone you love that you have a brain tumor. The difference is, the woolly mammoth chases you for, what, maybe 10 minutes? Not having those hard conversations, that can go on for years, and your body just can't handle that. Chronic exposure to adrenaline and cortisol disrupt almost every system in your body, and can lead to anxiety, depression, heart disease, just to name a few. When you do not have hard conversations, when you keep the truth about yourself a secret, you're essentially holding a grenade. So imagine yourself 20 years ago. Me, I had a ponytail, a strapless dress, and high-heeled shoes. I was not the militant lesbian ready to fight any 4-year-old that walked into the cafe. I was frozen by fear, curled up in the corner of my pitch black closet, clutching my gay grenade. And moving one muscle is the scariest thing I have ever done. My family, my friends, complete strangers, I had spent my entire life trying to not disappoint these people. And now I was turning the world upside down on purpose. I was burning the pages of the script we had all followed for so long. But if you do not throw that grenade, it will kill you. One of my most memorable grenade tosses was at my sister's wedding. It was the first time that many in attendance knew I was gay. So in doing my maid of honor duties in my black dress and heels, I walked around to tables and finally landed on a table of my parents' friends, folks that had known me for years. And after a little small talk, one of the women shouted out, "I love Nathan Lane." And the battle of gay relatability had begun. "Ash, have you ever been to the Castro?" "Well, yeah, actually, we have friends in San Francisco." "Well, we've never been there, but we heard it's fabulous. Ash, do you know my hairdresser, Antonio? He's really good, and he has never talked about a girlfriend. Ash, what's your favorite TV show?" "Our favorite TV show? Favorite, Will and Grace. And you know who we love? Jack. Jack is our favorite." And then one woman, stumped, but wanting so desperately to show her support, to let me know she was on my side, she finally blurted out, "Well, sometimes my husband wears pink shirts." And I had a choice in that moment, as all grenade throwers do. I could go back to my girlfriend at my gay-loving table and mock their responses, chastise their unworldliness and their inability to jump through the politically correct gay hoops I had brought with me, or I could empathize with them and realize that that was maybe one of the hardest things that they had ever done. That starting and having that conversation was them coming out of their closets. Sure, it would have been easy to point out where they fell short. It's a lot harder to meet them where they are and acknowledge the fact that they were trying. And what else can you ask someone to do but try? If you're going to be real with someone, you got to be ready for real in return. So hard conversations are still not my strong suit. Ask anybody I have ever dated. But I'm getting better. And I follow what I like to call the 3 pancake girl principles. Now, please, view this through gay-colored lenses, but know what it takes to come out of any closet is essentially the same. Number 1, be authentic. Take the armor off. Be yourself. That kid in the cafe had no armor, but I was ready for battle. Stupid hypothalamus. If you want someone to be real with you, they need to know that you bleed too. Number 2, be direct. Just say it. Rip the Band-Aid off. If you know you are gay, just say it. If you tell your parents you might be gay, they will hold out hope that this will change. Do not give them that sense of false hope. And number 3, and most important, be unapologetic. You are speaking your truth. Never apologize for that. And some folks might have gotten hurt along the way, so sure, apologize for what you've done, but never apologize for who you are. And yeah, some folks may be disappointed, but that is on them, not on you. Those are their expectations of who you are, not yours. That is their story, not yours. The only story that matters is the one that you want to write. So the next time you find yourself in a pitch black closet clutching your grenade, know we have all been there before. And you may feel so very alone, but you are not. And we know it's hard, but we need you out here, no matter what your walls are made of. Because I guarantee you there are others peering through the keyhole of their closets looking for the next brave soul to bust the door open, so be that person. And show the world that we are bigger than our closets, and that a closet is no place for a person to truly live. Thank you, Boulder. Enjoy your night.
LA Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Well, it's true. A closet is no place for anyone to live because there's pain there. And why should we live a life of pain? You know, everyone always tells me, Max, life is so hard. It's not. We make it hard. And why do we make it hard? Because sometimes we're addicted to the drama. Sometimes we're addicted to our stories. And most of the time, we're addicted to our past. But that shouldn't hold us to where we are today. And we have to live in the moment now because yesterday is gone and tomorrow, listen, if it comes and we tell our truth, that's great. And if it doesn't, at least we told our truth and owned who we really are in this moment. So we've got the great, great, great Ash Beckham joining us in just a moment. But I want to let you know that really give voice to your truth is what Ash talks about. With an arresting blend of urgency and humor, Ash takes on topics like the crippling experience of being trapped in a closet, the difference between tolerance and acceptance, and the need to remove the word gay as a projector from our lexicon. With widely funny and poignant stories and yet tough yet deeply compassionate stance, Ash tells us how to take off the armor and be our authentic self. She tells us how to get real. And you know, I always preach being real, right? Well, Ash declares to her audience, hard is hard. There is no harder. There is only hard, as you just heard in that awesome video. So we're going to talk to Ash tonight because we want you, as listeners tonight, and my friends on Max and Friends, to really live a life of authenticity, to live a life of who you are. And it's okay who you are. And I love you for who you are. So if no one's ever told you that, I just did. Because who you are is important. You know, we all have individual fingerprints. And not one of them is different. And that holds our truth. Our fingerprints are our truth. And what's important is that they're all different. So our truth is going to be different. But as long as we stand in it, own it, and project it as who we are, we've already conquered the battle. So I love you for being you. On that note, let's pull up the mic on Ash Beckham, my amazing guest of the evening. Welcome, Ash, to Max and Friends.
Hey, Max. How are you?
Oh, all right. I'm all heated and sweaty because this is such a hot topic for me that I don't know if we should play hot topics or not. But I am so good because I'm so glad that you're here, because tonight we're going to shake the foundations of a lot of people right now. And we're going to help them really create authenticity in their lives. So I'm glad you're joining me tonight.
I'm so excited to be here.
Now, let's talk about you for a minute. How did all of this happen? And where were you when it happened, and why you?
Yeah, right? I know. I still ask myself that just about every day, why me? But I had done some work and seen some speeches in Boulder. The first one was Boulder Ignite, so that was the Don't Use Gay as a Pejorative talk. And that one, really, honestly, I went and I saw this guy. And the format of the event is it's 5 minutes. You have 20 slides, 15 seconds apiece. And the very first guy I saw speak was talking about his ups and downs with weight loss. And he was like awkward and charming and just so real. And I was absolutely instantly fell in love with this guy. And I was like, oh, I could get up there and do that. So I promised myself that the next time they had an event, I would try to do it. Not really knowing what I would talk about, but just kind of needing that. You know, to be up there and I don't know, be able to be in a place in your life when you can just be completely honest. And so I was expecting to do it in the late spring, but it ended up being about a month and a half later. And then that was the first one. And then it had gotten a great response, you know, 500,000 hits, was really excited about it. And then TEDx Boulder was about 6 months later. And, you know, that just kind of happened and sat down with a couple people and talked about it and talked to friends and talked about, you know, really thinking, let me give some context for what it feels like to come out of the gay closet. You know, like, you can't necessarily relate if you're hetero, and so if you're going to, you know, you don't know what it feels like to come out, but here's something that's at least kind of close. So really, I thought it was, hey, here's how all the people in the world can relate to gay folks. But what it turned into, and I think what's really surprised me, is that it turned into how people can relate to each other, which I love, and I feel like it, you know, inspires me all the contact I have with people around, hey, we're all the same, you know, in a world where it feels so divided and so kind of insular that everybody, you know, we all have the same problems, and it's honestly like our problems are just widgets, honestly.
Yeah.
Like that's what it feels like to me, which is that, you know, that there's a community around that's supporting people, like, you know, instead of being like, well, it's so much harder to have this, you know, problem A than problem B. Now you're in this community of like, man, I know what it's like when your life is really, really tough. And mm-hmm. And that compassion is incredible.
Well, it's true. And, you know, it's so interesting because have you ever, like, spoken before? Because you got on that stage at TEDx, and it seems like you have spoken your whole life.
That's so funny. No, you know, I had told people before, you know, the one that I did for the Ignite Boulder, which was that first talk that was on YouTube, that was about 850 people, by far the biggest group I'd ever spoken in front of. I did a toast at my sister's wedding. There was a couple hundred people, and then I ran for student government when I was in high school. And that was literally the extent of my public speaking experience. But I love telling stories. I love telling stories with my, you know, as long as my buddies will listen at the bar, I love to tell them a story. And so when I was getting up there and practicing this and getting my, you know, really close group of friends together, you know, telling my sister over the phone, they were just like, just pretend like we're just sitting at a bar telling a story and there's like another 2,000 people listening. And they're like, you know, just like say it the way you usually say it. And that made me feel super comfortable.
There's like 4 million people listening and probably even 5 or 6 right. Or like now 10 million people listening.
Right.
So, you know, how does it feel to, like, all of a sudden, you're just living your life, and the next thing you know, you have, like, MSNBC knocking on your door?
Right, yeah, you know, it's obviously not what I expected and not what I, you know, why I wrote it or the intention behind writing it. But it's you know, it, I guess, just shows you that it's a conversation that needs to be happening and that I just happened to put words to what a lot of people were feeling. And I feel really lucky to be in a position to be able to convey that to people, but I feel like from a lot of the interactions that I've had from people that, you know, the point isn't, I mean, I think relatability is somewhat the point, but I think by living your truth or living authentically or me, you know, me getting up on stage and telling those stories, I hope folks can relate to it, but really I hope people do the same thing and that everyone that lives their life authentically inspires someone they don't even know to live authentically. I feel
and that's
like.
The
I mean,
truth.
Just, absolutely. No, I mean, that is just that's what you do. When you see someone be brave, when you see someone have that conversation, you see someone at work stand up to the bully, you see someone come out, you see someone just be real and vulnerable, it inspires you to do the same thing, and you don't even know the people you inspire. I mean, I happen to be really lucky and have a forum right now where people can communicate to me about that, but every interaction I have, I just tell folks, like, I guarantee you, as many people as you look up to, there are that many people that look up to you. You just don't know who they are.
Yeah, exactly. Well, speaking of communication, if you all want to get in touch with Ash, tweet her at Ash Beckham and tell your story. Watch her story before you tell your story, because otherwise, you got to get it. So here's the deal. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to read a quote to you, and I want to hear what your thoughts on this quote, okay? I looked for God, and I found myself, and that's the secret of the universe.
I think that that's great. I totally believe that. I mean, I wouldn't get into the theology, and I think what people believe is what they believe, but I think what everyone is looking for, what you really want to find is yourself and your true self and your authentic self, and the answers to life's questions are in you, you know, and sometimes you just don't know the answer, but when you look to yourself and when you find out who you really are, there's no greater gift that you can bring to this world than being you.
That's the truth. Well, now we need to get some steps, because to everything in life, there's steps and there's work, and we have to do our work. I mean, that's just the simplicity of life. Not, you know, it's just going to come easy, but it's not going to come difficult either, because when we do our work and when it's in the truth of who we are, it's important that we get these steps down. So you have three steps in your video and in your talk that are really important. So for all of you who are listening tonight, this is turning into a life class, everybody, here on Max and Friends. So get out your pens if you're old school. If not, get out your iPads and click your little pad, because y'all need to write this stuff down, because this is what's going to help you change your life to be exactly who you are and exactly who you're supposed to be, which is the truth. So Ash, give us a breakdown of how we need to start these conversations and how we need to move ourselves out of the closet and get out of the closet and into our truth. So enlighten us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, the first thing is, honestly, that people need to, you have to assess your situation, obviously. I mean, I say this to kids, especially ones that are younger. You have to know the safety of any situation, and you have to make good choices, because as someone that's going to live authentically, like, we need you to stick around. We need you to be here with us. So I don't say that you realize something about yourself and you just run through the streets and scream your truth. You know, you talk to friends and you make decisions and you have confidence and you kind of figure it out. But once you've gotten to the point where you can't, you know, either you can't take it anymore or you know it's time, I feel like it becomes really clear when, okay, now is the time. And I would never, you know, push somebody out of their closet, because it's just such an individual decision. But you know, the first one for me is be authentic, be yourself. That, you know, there is only one you, and if you're gonna come out in whatever way, you just need to own that and own how great you are, and that, you know, however you landed on this planet is the way that you are, and yeah, you have history, and yeah, you've made choices, and all these different things, but to hide something about who you truly are literally robs the world of part of your greatness. So being authentic, I think, is, you know, the first one, and then...
Absolutely. Before we get to the second one, you know, the truth about being authentic to who we are, you know, what happens is, and these are just visualizations that I see, is that when we're not authentic to who we are, it's like venom, okay, people? And what it does is, if you ever see venom, it, like, when it goes into the body, it, like, slowly creeps through the body and destroys it. And when you're lying about who you are, that's what happens to you. It's like this venom of lies just, like, starts ripping through your body, slowly eating at it, until either you become sick, stress, whatever it is. In some cases, people, you know, people kill themselves not because they want to die, but because they're in pain. And that's what the venom of lying about who you are does. It creates pain in your life. And that's why you put yourself in these closets. So be authentic.
Absolutely.
Is Ash's number one.
And I, And I think along those lines, like, to be really clear, kids don't kill themselves because they're gay. Like, kids don't kill themselves because they're homosexual. They kill themselves because society is homophobic. Like, that, you know, it's not, it's not that one
bullies.
Thing that that kid has. Exactly. That you're scared to live the life that you know is authentic to you because the repercussions that exist in society. So no kid is like, I'm gay, I'm going to kill myself. They say, I'm gay, and... Yeah. Oh my goodness, this is what the rest of my life is going to look like if I come out. It's better to just not have that. So, I mean, that I think is part of it, is that it's kind of society's reaction to you that is what you're most scared about. You know, a lot of people, I don't think people are scared to live authentically. It feels better. It feels more free.
Yeah.
But you kind of make this risk assessment of, okay, living authentically means I could perhaps lose my spouse, family, friends, lovers, whatever it might be, and that is too scary to deal with. Not really knowing, but you just kind of assume what it would be like to lose those people, and you
and we
you
create
make that
those
assessment.
Stories. We create
Absolutely.
Stories in our head, and that's the worst part. When
For
we start
sure.
creating stuff that doesn't even exist on who we are
exactly.
and who we should be, people.
Oh. And how many times? I mean, I've 1,000 times I've had those conversations in my head of like, I'm going to be authentic, and this is how that person is going to react. Like, we all do that. I've had entire relationships in my head. You know, like you create these stories and you follow them and you believe them as true because you just, there's a part of us that just needs to know. And I think believing the lies of the stories we create in our head is a lot easier than maybe not knowing, because not knowing
it's
freaks
safe.
Us out.
It, because
totally.
We create this false safety. But all right, so we have to be authentic. That's number one. I think we got it clear. And by anybody, if you need help on being authentic, tune in to Max and Friends, because we always teach how to be authentic.
Exactly.
And what it is it's liberation, really. And don't be ashamed of who you are. All right, Ash, number two.
Number two is just be direct. If you have the courage to stand up and stand your ground and say whatever, come out of your closet in whatever way, don't minimize it because you think it's going to be easier for that person to hear. You know, like if you have anxiety and depression and, or, you know, whatever, I've heard hundreds of closet stories, or if you have PTSD, don't minimize it because you think the person who you're telling is, but don't worry about them. If you're going to break the ice with whatever your truth is, mm-hmm. just speak your truth. Don't speak part of your truth. I mean, and, you know, I think obviously sexuality is a continuum and that it absolutely varies. So there's some folks that may come out in whatever way. But if you know, like I knew I was gay, telling people, well, I think I might be gay or I might be bi, was just making it for me. It was protecting the other people from my truth. And that's, you're wasting everybody's time. Like, why come out twice? Just say it. It's not, whatever it is, it's not that bad, and the minimizing it. And the, I mean, you're continuing to lie, honestly. So that, you know, second one was just be direct and just rip the Band-Aid off and say it. And again, none of these things are easy to do, and I've struggled with them my entire life. But in the general part of being authentic to yourself, telling little white lies instead of big lies is still not being true to who you are.
Right. A lie is a lie, period. And, you know, I just had this great idea. And if you guys are listening tonight and you're like, oh my God, I don't know how to approach this situation, start with yourself. Look in the mirror and tell yourself who you are and be direct to yourself, be authentic to yourself, rip the bandit off to yourself. And I think when you look into your own eyes, I always tell people here, look into the mirror, look into your eyes and say, I love you. But now tell yourself your hard conversation. Tell yourself who you really are, because what that does is it will empower you to once you see who you are and your truth is in a reflection in the mirror, you could then boldly go into anywhere and tell people who you are. So practice in the mirror. You remember Michael Jackson, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. Y'all need to start with yourself. So what else, Ash? Number two is what you said, being courageous. I always thought out of all the virtues, courage is the most important. You know, we can go back to the Wizard of Oz and all the virtues there, but we need courage. So how do we build a strong foundation on courage?
I mean, I think authenticity is a huge part of it. And there's the belief in yourself and who you are, and that is undeniable. And also that is worthy, and that, you know, that that is worthy of love, and that is worthy of acceptance, and that is worthy of all the things, and the people that aren't able or willing to allow you to be in their lives or to accept you for exactly who you are, those are not people you want in your lives. And that might be hard because it might be your mom, mm-hmm. or it might be your kid, or it might be your spouse of 50 years. But if those people can't accept you for who you are, they're just not people you need in your life. And that is one of the risks, I guess, of coming out of the closet. So, and just what you said, the hardest conversation you ever have is looking at yourself in the mirror. I mean, that is to look at yourself. I mean, I remember literally like hands on the sink, Rocky Balboa moment, looking myself in the eye and being like, oh my God, I'm gay. And it was the most clear, concise thing I've ever done in my life. And from that moment forward, I knew that nothing would ever be the same. And when you have that foundational belief in who you are, and that you have the courage that it is something that is such a part of you that you can't live any other way, it gives you an incredible amount of pride and strength to go mm-hmm. through what you need to go through, I think. So that, you know, the third one is along the same lines of courage, you know, is being unapologetic. And that's also hard, you know, like if you're living in the closet in whatever way, either directly or indirectly, you're lying mm-hmm. to people. You're lying to people that you love, and you're lying to, I mean, that was the hardest thing, especially for me, telling my parents, was like, I lied to you for a long time about mm-hmm. who I was, what I was doing. And, you know, part of it was just not telling you. And part of it was these other like crazy thing. And like, that's really hard to tell people. So, but there's something, you know, I can say, I'm so sorry. I apologize for lying to you, but I don't apologize for being gay. And that was really
important. Being your truth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, for whatever your truth might be. Like people, there are people that could have gotten hurt either directly or indirectly. There's people you could have lied to either by not telling them anything or telling them something different. Like most likely you're not the only one that's being hurt when you're in the closet. So sure, there's mm-hmm. some things that you have done that you want to and need to apologize for, but you never apologize for who you are, because it is your truth. And whatever anybody else's story is about who you need to be or who you should be or how you should live your life is mm-hmm. about them. And when you come to that point of courage, of knowing that the only story that matters is the one that you want, you're incredibly empowered to live exactly that way. And then those decisions and the thoughts of other people, you know, you of course, you want to be accepted and you want to be loved, but it becomes less important because you're less dependent on what they want/need in you, because you know what your truth is. And once you mm-hmm. discover that, it's really, really challenging to live in any other way.
It's true. And you know what's amazing? All I can say is it's true, it's true. And I'm getting so many tweets right now, and I'm sorry if I'm not responding to them, people. But I love you all for tuning in, for tweeting me at Max Tucci. Tweet Ash Beckham too, at Ash Beckham. I can't directly respond to all of you right now just because there's an overwhelming amount of tweets, but I love you for tweeting, and know that I will in time get back to you. So forgive me for
that's
doing
what
that.
My phone is. I just turned my phone off. It's just exploding right now.
So with that said, you know, it's true. And I think there's the big problem that we suffer with in life is the amount of labels that, especially in America, we like to put up. Everything has a label. And
right.
items are sold because of labels. Some people don't even know what it is, and they're just buying it because of the label. So we become very label conscious. And I think what that does is it limits people to be who they are. Because now we feel if we're being labeled by others, then who are we to be who we were? Or who we're created to be. And who are you not to be who you were created to be? So don't buy into the label bullshit, people, because it doesn't help. And you know what? When people start labeling, that's their own insecurity and that's their own issue. And we're not here, you know, to save the world. Well, maybe not all of us are, but we're here to really save ourselves and to be truthful to ourselves. So we have to really just take a stand and be proud of who you are. No matter what anybody has said about you, no matter what anybody has spoken about you, be proud to be who you are. Like I said earlier in the show, our fingerprints are who we are, and everyone is different. So, Ash, give us some advice, because we got to wrap this show up. Can you believe how fast time flies by?
Oh, absolutely. I know, talking to you, everything goes so fast. I feel like we could talk for hours.
Oh, we're going to have you back for sure, so I'm not even concerned about that. But for tonight, because I like to live in the now, what is some advice that you're giving people before that? Let me phrase this properly, because I want this to be impactful for everyone, because this is, again, turning into a live class here on Max and Friends. And if you missed any portion of the show, you guys can go to latalkradio.com/max.php. Make sure that M is capital. So, and you can get the whole show in its entirety and about 6 years of archives here. But when in life we are ready to move forward with being authentic and who we are, what's some advice that you could give on how to prepare yourself to get into that conversation?
Well, I think the first thing, obviously, when you have your clarity on what you want and what your truth is, and that is pretty unwavering, I think you need to be genuinely prepared that some people are going to have reactions. You know, mm-hmm. if it's coming out of the closet in whatever way, you've taken a long time, years maybe, to make the decision to actually come out, and you're going to tell someone that you care about on the spectrum of caring, that someone you care about, and they don't know this about you. So you need to give them a second to respond. I mean, I've always said I would much rather have someone fly off the handle about me being gay than give me okay, and nothing like flatline. Like, have a response. Whatever, and like, give me an authentic response. That's exactly mm-hmm. what I want, and that is, it's scary because you get some pushback and you see sides of people that you weren't really expecting. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you have to give people a second to come around. I truly feel like coming out of the closet, you almost have to come out twice. You almost have to say, "Hey, this is it, and I know it's going to take you a second. So let's talk. We can talk about it later if you want." Mm-hmm. But you have to give people permission and kind of the space to have their reaction, because you've been working on this forever and you're just mm-hmm. going to drop it on someone and you just expect them. Of course, they unequivocally love you for whatever reason, and maybe they don't, but they're going to have a reaction. And people might be pissed, but that's kind of the way it goes. I mean, it's part of it. It's part of what happens. It's part of it. And hopefully they come back around. And I don't think you necessarily write somebody off just because their first response isn't how you've scripted in your head for the last 6 months.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And that's the truth. And what I offer you, everyone, is if you're ready to have your hard conversation, if you're ready to have your truthful conversation, if you're ready to have the directness that you need to be who you are, before you just jump into it, ask the person if they're ready to have the conversation. Because there's nothing worse than starting a hard conversation and you don't have the people paying attention. So sit them down and say, "Before we get into this, I'm about to have a hard conversation with you. Are you ready? If not, we can come back at another time." So be respectful of their space too, because just because you might be jumping out of the closet with your rainbow flag, not everybody is ready to accept that. So be prepared for rejection.
And I think the holidays are a really hard time, especially because a lot of us, like, I live in Colorado and my family's in Ohio, and so you don't see people a lot, so you do, and you want to tell them, and you live this life that exists, you know, in a different state or time zone or country,
yeah.
And then you come back and see them over the holidays, and to walk in while your mom's, you know, up to her elbows in making a ham and potatoes, and, you know, 25 people are coming in the door, and the dishwasher just broke, and they're like, "Oh, hey, P.S., I'm gay." It's not necessarily the best time. Like, "Mom, we need, you know, I need to talk to you, and
or
I appreciate
whatever
this.
It is, or whatever it is.
Whatever it might
have
be.
Cancer, like, if you're getting divorced, if you're going bankrupt, always ask the person if they're ready for the hard conversation. Ash, we're going to have to wrap this up. Stay with me for just 1 second because I've got a message for everybody. Hey, everyone, you know, Christmas is almost here. The New Year is approaching. So if you're hoping for a Christmas miracle of some kind and it's not going to materialize, don't lose hope. Christmas may soon be over. The spirit of hope is very much alive. This is a very spiritual time of the year for everybody because we're awakening to our true selves. The old year is winding down and a new year lies before us. The year ahead is filled with hope and promise, and you can make it anything you want it to be. Don't get so caught up in what didn't happen that you fail to see what still can happen for your life in 2014. It's going to be a positive year of transformation for you, but you got to do your work. I love you all for listening. Stay tuned to Max and Friends every Sunday night. Ash Beckham, it has been an honor and a pleasure to have you on Max and Friends tonight.
It's been so great, Max. Love you. And everybody that's listening, happy holidays.
And I'm going to call you after the show because there's more to discuss. So, Ash, have a great night and an awesome week ahead. Everyone, we're going to leave you with happy holidays on Max and Friends. Have a very wonderful Merry Christmas for all of you that celebrate it. Happy Kwanzaa the day after. And remember to take life to the max. Good night and good karma. And here's a little bit of happy holidays for y'all to celebrate with. Talk to you real soon.
Happy holidays.
Good night.
Happy holidays. May the calendar keep ringing. Happy holidays to you.